Now, can you hear me?
Yo, when we're up and running, you know, greetings everybody. This is Wesley Pepper, this is the Athletes and Podcast, and this is episode 144. So I'm closing in on 113 episodes, which is kind of a milestone for me. Yeah, so hey man, that's up to all my guests. 113 is not bad. So that's like so over 1,000 hours, I think, maybe like that's the core of like conversations with artists about process and stuff. So yeah, anyway. What is the other thing? Oh yeah, man, check out the Epic Genius Podcast. Playlist is also on this channel. It's also on my YouTube channel. And yeah, without any further ado, man, today he's one of the dopest, my brother. You know, like, your name was one of those hells. I love it. It's what do they call it? The party. Anyway, there's a word for it. It's like rolls over the duck. Always. You're one of the freshest, watercolorists, I think, that I certainly know of. But before we get to the watercoloring and the work, let's just start. So firstly, my king, greetings, welcome, how are you?
I'm good and you, man. I'm good. What a nice, introduction. No, man, I'm good. I'm awesome.
Looking on my side today, Esther, man, I actually don't want to talk, make an announcement yet, but I've got a meeting a bit later tonight around my business, so I'm hoping there's good news. But other than that, I'm okay. You know, taking it every one day at a time, and yeah, I'm working towards a goal here. Like your work, man. One of the things that always stands up when I think of your watercolors that jumps off your mind is that I know you did a bunch of book covers as well, and it has a very a kind of a commercial aspect to it. In other words, like, most of the images can be used on different print, and in this case on different publications, but it still has a very nice raw, I don't like the word pretty, but I almost feel it's not the same to black people, but anyway, but like I find it also has a real color of life, of like some African township life, and yeah, but as I said, but like, it's especially the color always sticks to mind. So let's jump, like, obviously, right in the beginning, but let's start with, like, just like introduce yourself to my audience and just tell us a little bit about, I guess, you know, where the art comes from, and you know, and we'll take it from there.
Oh yeah. Can you hear me?
Go for it. Yeah,
we record
it.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. West. It's actually I would say they are all inspired by the memories and experience or things that I see that are happening in my surroundings. So I'm just depicting the I'm just painting like the situation of the people that are going through, and then it's actually about the survival mode. It's not actually about where you're from, but it's all about where you're at and then where you're going at the same time. So most definitely, yeah. So it's all about like how to survive in any situation, in any type of situation, just to keep that that bulb of hope lit. You mustn't give up. You must just keep on pushing and pushing. Because as long as you're still waking up every day, that simply means that you mustn't play around with that kind of blessing. So it's all about pushing forward.
You're the philosophy. So, so that's a little bit of my charming. I know each other from artist group days. You know, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, man.
So tell us, like, what about art? Like, where does it, you know, where did you start off, and with what medium, and how did you end up, choosing watercolors as well?
Oh yeah. Hey, it's quite a long journey, my guy. What happened was, immediately when I was in APS, I was still drawing, no painting experience and all that type of setup. So then I've happened to meet up with this guy who used to be a watercolor society chairman, Chris Combrink. So that's the guy who introduced me to the likes of watercolors. Then he gave me a couple of materials. Then that's where I started applying myself into painting. And then it was a mess. It was a mess up until I've met up with this other lady. Hey, I forgot her name. They were from somewhere in the US. I think Boston. And that lady, they came for a workshop. It was back in 2013, if I'm not mistaken. 2013 or 2012. And then she was good at watercolors. So then she just taught me, like, it wasn't even, we didn't even take it. We didn't take time per se. Then we only just took like a couple of two, three test prints and I got it. Because he just introduced me to the basics of watercolor.
Yeah, man.
After getting those basics, then
it's just clear.
The first artwork that I did, it was super. So then it was even it was like a monotype watercolor, if I'm remembering right. That was definitely watercolor monotype. And then I was like, if I could just do it on a plate. As a monotype, then on paper, then it can be even way too good, because at least on paper you have time, unlike the monotype, because it mustn't allow all the colors to dry. So then I started with the papers and stuff, and I mean, it was wonderful, it was what I wanted. I started seeing the image that I had in my head, and I'm like, this is it. I must just keep on exploring more and more. But again, I still like to thank the guy who introduced me to the watercolor, Chris Pompik, is in Cape Town. A super teacher.
It's interesting. It's interesting because I can relate. Sometimes it just clicks. You just know, like, it just clicks. That's also why I also recommend to every, I would say, emerging artist to try to handle as many different techniques,
mediums.
Process as
yeah,
possible.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think that's very, very important because you
that's true that.
Know. Yeah, you want to say
what
something.
What was happening was with immediately after taking the equipment, watercolor materials from Chris, I treated watercolor like oil paintings. So I didn't know the difference between the two. But immediately when I got to that lady who came from Boston, she introduced me to the layering technique, like the use of water, why it is called watercolor. Because before I couldn't understand the technique, I would say that. Then after that lady, then that's when I started knowing, okay, what are they saying, layering technique, and then the use of water, how do you combine water and color, and then layering technique in order to create an image. Then that's where that kind of type of mindset came from the process or the basics that I got from that link, which was so helpful.
Yeah. I can relate to that. So you're saying that you build your colors, right? So you say like if you want like a very, let's say, a reddish brown, you might start up with a yellow first and then maybe go over with the
maybe exactly red. yeah
so just explain that a little bit more in detail to us. So are you building colors, textures, and so forth? Yeah, just explain to us a little bit
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Remember, like, during to back in the days, man, you know, these things of YouTube and stuff, we were not that exposed to them, so it was quite difficult. You take time to learn like a minor thing, unlike today. So, the first technique that I've learned was that layering technique, only to find out that we still have wet on wet. So then I was like, okay. I started exploring those type of those different techniques, just to check on how did I like what exactly am I going to come up with. And fortunately, it was quite a good process. And then with colors, what I've learned again about colors is that you can't just approach painting without the knowledge of colors.
Yeah, man.
So I was also fortunate enough that we also got introduced to color theory, like at APS.
Yeah.
And then I had to stretch it on my own, that knowledge, and try to find out, like, when you mix this color and that color, this is what you're going to get. And then I don't know what happened, man, but before I get to that part, if because I'll get some couple of picks, then I'll look at them in terms of the colors, but I'll depict the colors without even knowing exactly, by the book. I'll do it by just knowing that just I won't say knowledge, but
yeah,
I'll just do it.
Then
I was like, ish, I need to get back to the color theory, and so then at least that I can upgrade my knowledge a bit in terms of colors. So then I can easily achieve like things like contrast, anything that relates with color. Because at least with compositions and building up the concept and stuff, I was covered about that. But I still had to learn more about the color wheel and how does it work, how does colors complement each others and stuff before I can lay down like the image that I want. So I didn't just want to come up with a dope image, but I'm not sure how I put into that. So at least if I know the process, like in order to achieve this, then I have to go this way and that way and that way. Or my palette needs to have this kind of colors. Either it's warm colors or cool colors, and then how do they complement each other? So those are the things that I had to learn. I'm still learning them even now.
Yeah. You never stop learning. That's one of the beauties of art. Like, there's no ceiling. So you know the learning process never.
Hence
why I always encourage people to collaborate and to learn as much, because that's creativity doesn't have a ceiling. By my making, do you have any examples of some of your watercolors that you can show us?
Here at the studio, I don't have anything, because most of the paintings, they're there by my place. So the problem was the network, so I can't really get the reception quite well. But I can send them to you.
Yeah, I'm thinking I must find another creative way of because if I must just slot them in here just random, it just looks random and I'm not really skilled in making cool graphics yet. But I'm thinking for my listeners, I will add, you know, I'll put a description to all his work down below in the comment section. So guys can check it out there. And I wanted to, you know, as we're talking about like you're learning your technique, composition, planning, color, you know, you're learning and understanding how to work with color and then plan the composition. What I wanted to I just want to explore a little bit about the composition. Firstly, before we get there, how many solo shows have you done today?
I only have one under my belt at this moment, and then a whole lot of good shows.
Because that's the thing. because I sort of want to because your work sort of look, man, I know as an artist, you know, one does many things, and we want to get to your tattooing as well. So you got to apply yourself, any but like with your regarding your composition or what you're painting about, so you're doing a lot of sort of, you're depicting your surroundings, you know, you're depicting what you see, what you love every day. I get a real strong sense of there's not necessarily hope, but I get a lot of I would say a lot of energy, but not necessarily negative energy. I get a lot of I don't see the stereotypical big eye, you know, child with bare feet kicking a fucking soccer ball and like very generic type of stuff. Explain to us like what is it about your surroundings that, you know, that clicks, that you feel, nah, I want to paint this, I want to make art about this.
Yeah. quite an interesting question. I would say that sometimes it depends on the, mood. It's also about the mood. It's also about you know, when you see somebody who's really trying to make things to make end meet, you know what I'm saying? Like it really touches me, man. Like, you know, like seeing people striving, you know what I'm saying, instead of like just saying, it's bad, man, just chilling and stuff, you know what I'm saying. So most of the time I don't tune my mind like saying, okay, now I'm gonna like go out and take pictures and stuff. It just happens. I'll just see something interesting in terms of because I take like a whole lot of pics whenever I can. Then sometimes it will happen, like maybe I'll be listening to a song, then a title will click. Like it just happens randomly. Then I'll be like, okay, I got this title, and then so then how can I build up how can I build it visually? And then I'll go back and look at the pics, like the pictures that I took can be, because most of the time, one artwork, it will be combined by 4 or 5 pics. Then the challenge that I'm going to be having, it's the mood, how to fit the same mood. It must have the same mood. It must have the same, light. Like where the light comes from and then stuff. Because you might find that sometimes I'll even change the colors in order to suit my subject. So that's where as an artist I come in. Because I might get like a photo which is like black and white, and I'll turn it into color, or a photo into which is in color and turn it into black and white. And then it's quite a process. It's quite a process, but because I'm always just try to run away from painting a picture the way it is, like depicting a pic. So then I must make it mine. I must own it. So then I must do it in an artistic perspective in order to suit my subject or to suit my title. Yeah, that's what most that's what happened. That's happening in most cases. And then the other thing will be because most of the time it's my subject is based on humans. It will be humans and settlement where they stays or stuff, but I'm still trying to run away from that, because actually I'm trying to get deep into the spiritual side of doing whatever they do.
That's so interesting.
It's still quite a long thing. Tell us
a little bit about that. And when you say deep into the spiritual side, what exactly are you meaning? Explain that a little bit more.
As far as I Okay, the main subject of my concept, it's art within art, or a human, or let's say, how can I put it? It's, you'll see like a human, then there must be something inside that human.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making sense. Exactly. So the main purpose is just try to tap into that deeper into that, like the spiritual or the psychological side of when somebody's going through a rough patch, what exactly is happening deep within, and then you might find somebody who's, but some people are like, they don't look like their problems, as far as this that term say, like it's famous nowadays. I'm going to find out that some people are going through some rough patch, but they don't look like it. But I'm saying, so I'm trying to capture that, like put it into paper, like how do you deal with that? How do you come into that conclusion of saying my things are a little bit bad, but anyway, I just gotta live, because it's a new day at the same time. So
yeah, man.
Interesting. That's why I'm saying, like, I need to send you some couple of the latest works. There's a little bit of shift. Most definitely, man. Yeah, there's a shift.
Do that.
There's a couple of workshops that I was busy with. There's a couple of things that I've learned, and I've applied them into the current works. So yeah, man. Even in terms of the colors, how do you? It's still the same watercolor, but it's not different approach as such, but upgraded approach, I would say that.
Okay.
There's a couple of elements that I've added in terms of composition. There's also a couple of elements that I've added in terms of color. I used to have like multiple colors, so then I just chose to lessen my color use. Then I would have maybe one or two colors that are dominating more than others. So it's quite different, or it's an upgrade from what I used to do.
Interesting.
And then I'm also gonna be. I'm also busy with the painting part, the acrylics. Now I'm tapping into the acrylics on canvas. So it's quite a journey that I'm busy with at this moment in time. But hopefully something nice gonna come out of there.
The one major advantage I find with acrylics is that you can work on like huge scales. And it is so. It is the most versatile medium for me. You can use any medium with it.
Most definitely, yeah, sure.
All over the paintwork, print of it. It's incredibly versatile. Good for murals. It's a really versatile medium. So I was gonna say back. You know, as explaining, I was gonna take a small step back. As you're explaining, like, you were trying to look sort of what's going on inside people's, people's going through some form of conflict, let's just call it conflict, and sort of conceptualize and represent that on paper. I'm looking at the back, at the painting over your left shoulder, and is that the type of imagery that you, you're busy working with?
Dad, can you repeat that again?
You were talking about conceptualizing conflict that's going on, you know, within people. Did you get that part? It's breaking transmission. Did you get that part?
Yeah. The thing, the spiritual side of things.
Yeah. I just want to know because the painting behind you, the image and the conceptual direction, it looks very celestial. It looks very it doesn't really look like your like the work we talked about earlier on. You know, your everyday scene. Type of direction that you're going to go into, a more surreal celestial type of work? Is that the creative direction you are moving into?
Yeah, man. That's where I'm going. Because I'm also still in the process of working on my the concept, like stretching it. I'm still stretching it to the next level. I've dealt with.
Sorry, man. There's a breaking transmission, but that happens all the time.
No, but the thing is, yeah, there's a call that is coming in.
It's
not gonna be like that different, but there will be. It will be upgrade. I'm in a mode of like upgrading my concept because I've been dealing with the concept that I've been dealing with for quite a long time. So then there's a little bit of shift that I feel that needs to happen, and then it's part of growth. Yeah, because I also wanna go like on the big scales because I used to like A3, A4s. So now I want to go for like A2, A1s, and A0s and stuff. Yeah. So then definitely the concept also needs to get switched a bit.
For sure.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I want to include, a couple of elements that I'm.
Let me just ask this as this direction that you're moving to have anything to do with COVID-19?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The COVID-19 thing. Oh, hey, that's bad, man. what kept me going is the WASA. They call it WASA, Watercolor Art South Africa.
Yeah.
Which came from South African Watercolor, whatever. And then they kept on having the online competitions and stuff.
For sure. I'm still here and there. I just
don't know
because the line is a bit unstable. But continue.
Okay. I'm saying WASA and the other societies from... It was from taking states all over global. Then they were having the whole lot of the online competitions. So then that's what kept me busy at that moment. I just took that advantage instead of like not just chilling, complaining, and not doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Most artists were complaining about the situations and relief funds and all that type of stuff. So then after I was like, I don't want to be more into art politics. Then let me just look at something that is positive, you know, just keep doing what I do best. You know what I'm saying? So, and then in terms of the finance wise, then lucky enough, at least I was still... I was still running workshops, teaching in different provinces, and I remember it was back in 2019. Then I just came from Eastern Cape to running a workshop there, art workshop there. So then some of the money that I got from there, at least it just kept us going. You know what I'm saying? And then the other thing that kept me going during those days was the tattoo business.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, man. Where do you do your tattoos from?
Uh,
Actually, that's a bit. I want to ask like three different questions in one, but I just realized.
Okay.
Because I know you actually I know of two other brothers, excluding you, that visual artist that has a tattoo sidekick, and it makes sense because you know we're into that drawing. How did that come to me? That's a little bit about your tattoo.
Oh. And also, it was, you know, like, I might sound quite weird, but what I'm going to tell you is that, you know, you sort of like learn a lot from the hardships.
Yeah.
You know, like, the situations where, situations will test you in a way that just need to come up with a solution like now. Because the thing is, I remember our tattoo thing. It wasn't in my plans like back then. But I just happened to just fell on it. Like there was this friend of mine. I'm sure you know him, Mahlomo Langosi.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Then he was already in tattoo business, and then that's the guy who sort of like introduced me into this industry, how it works and all that type of stuff. So then, lucky enough, I had that artistic background. That was, I started in, what was it? 2014. That's where I started doing them like permanently. And then the other thing.
Isn't it profitable? Is it a good offer? Is it a profitable hustle?
Yeah, it is. It is, my man. It is a profitable hustle.
Do you get a lot of clients from your township, or must you market it, you know, to other different places and this and that?
Yeah. Now there is a whole lot of customers. I started getting that local customers, and then now I'm getting people from Pretoria, Sandton, and northern suburbs. Yeah, man. And then this is what I did when I would go to run a workshop somewhere, maybe in Mpumalanga and stuff. I'll go with stuff, and then do a couple of people there. And then if I move to Polokwane, then I'll also carry along the equipment and then do 1, 2, 3 people there in order just to make sure that I get a client from that side. I've been using that opportunity a lot. And, now I think I know there's a whole lot of them, a whole lot of customers.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, I know quite a few visual artists that does the it. I'm always interested to know. Just another question on that. Is there a lot of tattoo artists? Do you have to compete with many?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, like, but it's quite something, man. I would tell you, because I would say we might start maybe a year with maybe 14 artists, like in one area. But when time goes, the one that has that artistic view, we'll definitely stand out. We'll be the last. Even now that we had a couple of people, but I know they don't last. They just don't last, man. I don't know what's the aim or purpose that they're having in this industry. But the thing is, the ones that I know, they will tell you that that's where you get a quick cash. Yes, it is like that, but you need to run it like professionally. If you don't run it professionally, it's gonna be a problem. Because now people gonna come in, you don't have ink. People's gonna come in, you don't have toilet paper. You don't have needles. It's an industry actually. So most people don't treat it like that. They don't respect the rules and stuff. Yeah.
Registered as a separate company.
Yes, my guy, yes.
What's it called?
It is registered as a separate. It's because I do have a company. The company, it's called Moorish Creative Link, but with the tattoos, it's a trademark. It's the Moors Inc. under the Moorish Creative Link. So the Moorish Creative Link, it's an umbrella.
Sure. Do you guys like have a page, like a social media page or anything like that?
Yeah, man. It's the Moors Inc. Moors meaning it's Moors, then Inc. INK. Yes, man. Yeah, it's the Moors Inc.
Yeah, that's also interesting. Just something that comes to mind. This is a point of observation. Is that like as a visual artist, an artist, you are forced to, you're actually an entrepreneur because you do everything
that
does. And we also create and sell a product just like most businesses. So just by virtue of operating like that gives us certain entrepreneurial skills, I guess, that the average Joe might not have. And it also gives us certain endurance because most cats like yourself and others, like, we do it like heavy things, and we can, and so when it comes to business, I don't think it's really a step up. It's just another medium in some cases. And actually, that's something I'm learning in my own operation.
Yeah.
I find I actually I'd like to talk in the future to other business people around us, but honestly, I think that artists make very good managers. We can work with a lot of people. We can relate to a lot of people, and we can communicate. I think we are incredibly good communicators.
Most definitely.
In your case, you can do the work better if there's such a thing. Just because of our technical, our just because of your eye. I think that's just an observation. My gig, man, my brother. Just give me a.
Okay.
I guess just a list of some of your pages, some of your social media. If you guys wanna reach out to you, if you wanna check out your work, and I will be adding links to all of that down there. But
Okay. All right. Another thing, just quick.
Yeah,
you
man.
Just mentioned like a good point about like being commercial at some point, because you can't just wait for like your art to sell. Sometimes it takes time, like it takes 2 months and stuff. So you probably just need to have like some sort of like a contingency plan, you know what I'm saying? So which is what we're doing at this moment in time. That's why I chose the tattoo part, and then I'm also into launching the clothing brand, which will be my artworks. So then I'm working on the artworks, the graphic side of the artworks, creating them into the stickers, t-shirts, and caps. You know what I'm saying? Just to have something going on the side.
Let's actually talk about that.
But just
for now, the session is actually coming to an end. So let me just close the session, and I'll send you another link. All right.
Okay. No problem, man.
Cool. Let's jump. Okay, then, man. Just after that break. Everybody. Just before that break, we just. I was actually thinking we should wrap up, but like as we're getting into your business, I didn't realize that you still had this whole this whole new thing. And as you're explaining about like taking images and transferring it on for example stickers and so forth. I just wanna highlight a point quickly. I've noticed that I've also been looking at that. In seeing what type of, and I actually know a brother. He's more of like a interior design, or they, or, you know, they work in an interior design world. And we were trying to look some time back for some form of collaboration. I also know some other artists that also done the art actually on Linton Ware, on cushions. I know guys who like the I guess the range is quite broad these days. And it's also very
interesting
how all these other industries are embracing art. So just explain to us, but like, just give us some detail there into like what direction you're gonna move into. You know, what products you're gonna put out, and you know, what are they gonna look like?
At this point in time, this is where I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start with the t-shirts. It's gonna be t-shirts, it's gonna be posters, it's gonna be stickers. And then I'm planning to move more into the bigger things like what do they call this? The major products like what do you call that thing? What's the name of this man?
Thank you, Tim.
The one that you put in the bed. What does it call? Those small cushions.
Cushions.
Yeah, cushions, covers. Yeah, man. I'm planning to put them more into cushions. Like a whole lot of stuff, even umbrellas or whatever. Anything that is I would say that is more to come on. I'm also gonna use the tattoo studio. I'm gonna incorporate that into the tattoo studio. And I'll just have it's gonna be a studio and a mini shop on the side. That'll be selling those things. And then again, I just came to be aware that you can also open an online shop, online store, like on Etsy, Printify, Redbubble, and all that type of stuff. And that's also quite an interesting things that you can also do. And then I'm also planning, you know, the this AI thing.
There's so many people
who are making money on AI. They're not even artists. So I'm like,
we'll get to I sort of want to close with that. I want to ask you another thing about the business. Are you looking to what market you want to sell to? You want to sell to the same people who've been buying your artwork? What market are you looking to sell to?
You just came up with another point. And the people who's gonna be buying, I'm gonna take that and use it. I never thought about that yet. Yes, man. I'll put that into consideration. And then I'm gonna be selling that to my tattoo customers. And then I've also joined there's this thing they call it the art farm. Yeah, I mean, it's an, a monthly event that is taking place around here in Eastern, somewhere there by Klepperefier. And then there's also the other one that just opened in Free State, Qwaqwa. Then I'm going to be taking some of my stuff there. And then while I'm doing the tattoos, then there'll be a display of things like cups, it can be stickers, it can be your cups. Wherever I go, I'm definitely going to be taking them with me. But on the other side, I'll be also tapping into this thing of the online shop. I'll definitely open a couple of online shops where I'm going to be selling those stickers, those designs and stuff.
Are you working on your own? Who's your company partnered with, or is it just you? Or do you have other business partners?
At this point, it's just me and my brothers. I think it's three of us. Yeah, it's just three of us for now, and we'll see how it goes about.
It's interesting, man. Like I was saying earlier on, I think that artists are the most natural form of natural entrepreneurs, and that we just have an ability that nobody else has. At least to my entire life, I've never picked up people outside the art who has our ability to connect, to communicate, and to conceptualize, and then put a very good product out there. One thing, also reason also why I was asking, like, collab, you know, who's part of your business. I know with a lot of other business entrepreneurs and so forth, you know, you always feel they have a big team, people to do stuff. Artists have the ability to do multiple tasks almost
at the same time.
I think it's just an ability that very few people have. Let me actually jump into AI. So I've been talking about AI consistently for this year, and many reasons, man. I'm fascinated behind it, but also, you know, clearly there's something to be concerned about. What I've noticed is how varied people's opinions is about AI, and how people perceive it, or how people see, you know, a forecast what's gonna happen. It's actually quite negative. So what's your take? Before you say, let me just put this last point. Last year, I think it was more March, just before Easter last year, I was talking to you know, Octane Gallery. They also on the so I was talking to Happy from Octane Gallery, and he was telling me that like a lot of his artists that he's associated with were almost becoming depressed about the fact that AI has sort of taken over. For example, like doing portraits. I mean, they get like billions of prompts a day to do portraits. And you can do it in any style, any technique, blah, 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 blah. So that's almost taking bread from the guy's mouth. My opinion on that is
definitely, yeah.
What's your take? What's your take on it?
At first, that was my view. Like, I was sort of like scared of like, okay, since we're going to be having AI, now this is going to be taking most of our breaths. And then what I've noticed is that, whether we like it or not, I don't think it's going anywhere. So why not just use it on our advantage as artists? As far as most people are already making money out of it, though they're not even artists. So my take is, since well, it seems as if like it's not going anywhere, then we need to find like a way on how can we use it to our benefit as artists. Because as I'm saying, I don't think it's going anywhere. It's going to be more. There's going to be more and more of that in a few years to come. So the most important part is to just like just check your position. How, like, as individual or as artist, like, how can you make money out of AI? Because I've seen some couple of people are making money out of it. They're not even designers. They're not even artists, but they're making money. So then, for us, I think it's going to be quite easier compared to those people who doesn't even have that kind of knowledge of art, since they're using prompts in most cases. I think we can come up with our own prompts in order to create something nice, something that is sellable, something that definitely is going to make money. Yeah, man. Instead of like just complaining and complaining, because I don't think it's going to help. At this stage where we are, definitely it's here. It's here to stay.
I agree with you.
Why don't you just and then even tattoo artists, what I've noticed with tattoo artists, they're still using it. Like, if you're going to be doing a portrait and then you're doing somebody's portrait, somebody will bring up the photo. The photo is like maybe 30 years old. It's not clear. Then you can probably just use AI in order to clear it out, in order to have like a, like like the picture that you can see, that you can probably just detect the details. So in those kind of cases, it does work. So then I was like, why not? Why don't you just use it, like, to our own sake, in order, whichever way it's going to benefit you, just use it, make money out of it.
I agree with you, Dan. That's super interesting. I totally agree.
So that's the whole point.
And as you say, it's not going anywhere, and it's just going to become smarter. Also, like in my personal space, I'm trying to understand how can I use it to do tasks that I'm not necessarily good with, admin tasks,
yeah,
financial. Banking and that type of shit. I'm still not very clear how that works, but because I feel that one of the drawbacks of entrepreneurship and running a business is overheads. So if I can cut down on the amount of, not that I want to take, not employ people, but it is 2024 and this is the times we're living in. And if I can have technology that can work very, very, you know, very honestly, for example, with very mundane tasks, then we can focus, then I can take my time and focus on things that I'm better at, especially, you know, making art board
and
stuff. So that's kind of my view. And as I'm saying, like, I find it super interesting to get many, many people's views on that. Just another point on it. I've also noticed it's a generational thing. So people maybe in their 50s and up, their views on AI differs from our generation to
most definitely. Yeah, sure.
But
yeah,
it's
yeah,
the younger, yeah, the guys in their 20s and so forth. It's super interesting, and all this shit has happened. After COVID. It's just everything has just come with and to adapt to that isn't easy. And I understand why some artists are struggling to adapt, because motherfucker, it's already tough.
Oh my god! yo.
But it's as you say. Yeah. It's like, anyway, you were saying? Yeah, continue.
Yeah, man. I was saying. It was quite bad, man, bad. But I think it's starting to get back to where we, or I would say get back to normal. Because I've seen since from this year, I've seen some couple of shows being putting up and all that type of stuff compared to this, compared to previous years.
Yeah.
I somehow think the doors are starting to open a bit, and then for artists as such, especially the exhibiting spaces and stuff.
Are you working on any, do you have any shows coming up within the next few months? Any group shows, something like that?
At this moment I'm working towards there's this online show that is happening there at the Wasa Watercolor Art Society of Wasa. Let me just say Wasa. Yeah, there is an exhibition that is happening. I think it's gonna be around July. And then we also working towards this, it's me and some other guys. We're also working towards we wanna have a show somewhere in Pretoria. I just forgot the name of the place. There's a gallery there that is taking works. I think it's from A3 size going upwards. So that's one of the things that you're looking at this moment in time. So then there's also other things that are happening next year. There's a couple of stuff that are under pipeline, but we'll see how they go and stuff.
Yeah, man.
There's a whole lot of stuff, but the ones that I'm sure of, it's these two that I just mentioned, the watercolor one and then the one that is going to be in Victoria. And then the other one that I'm waiting for is the one that is going to be happening somewhere next year, early next year.
Okay. Nah, for sure. Yeah. My brother, this was great, man. I think the I'm really fascinated. You'll send me those images of the work that you your more current work, right? Because like we're recording, yeah.
No, I will send them. Yeah, man.
Of different ways of doing it, but send it to me. I'm trying to do some form of animation video. I've got a cool app.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll see where and how.
I can
use it. I'll see where and how. Maybe even as a short or something. But we'll see. Like send me some of that. It sounds just a closing point on that. I've noticed, man, that after COVID, how artists have just sort of reimagined and re-looked at what they working on. I've almost felt that there's almost the sense of artists as more of a role in society where there's people are going through so much shit, and from all everybody and if it's not poetry, if it's not music, if it's not theater, if it's not stage, if it's not visual art, one of those things, it's actually tools of that we can definitely use to heal. I would say more than I would say pre-COVID. So and it's something that I'm actually tracking on this podcast as well, and I think it's fascinating, man. It's fascinating how things have changed in like 3 years.
God, it is in such a short space of time.
It's just everything. And you're either with it or it's complicated. And now we still have this election, or rather, as a recording of this episode, there's still no idea of what direction the government is going into. And I think that's also going to change because he's
important.
So we're really going to have a new arts minister. I don't know, my brother. Maybe, I don't know. I just know there's some radical change on the horizons. That's for sure. That's all we can say for sure. Is that
No, you know when you say that, especially us who are based in township, my man. You know, like there's more people that are looking up, that are looking, they're like, you like some sort of like a mentor or something. So then, if you fail, then they lose hope. You know what I'm saying? So, we're always trying to find ways that will definitely just maintain the art thing going. You know what I'm saying? Because, government-wise, my man, it's problematic. That's why I'm saying, no, as we were saying, we will see about that, the new art minister. I wish something can happen. I wish they come up with something definite.
I'm also holding, because
truly speaking, man, it's bad. Like I'm saying, it's bad. Especially for a self-taught artist. It's a bit problematic because you won't even know like which step to take from here. And if you can't get works to the galleries, and then so what? What's next? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, most people are they lost hope.
Yeah.
Most people lost hope during those time of COVID and stuff.
That's why I find these next few weeks so crucial. It's so crucial because we need
it is crucial.
We need something. We need something. But my king, let's wrap it up there, man. That's actually, we need something. As I was saying, man.
Most definitely.
It'll be interesting to see what new direction, your work is taking into. I'll try to do something, and I'll be in touch with regards to that, via WhatsApp. But this was cool.
Most definitely. My
brother. Thanks for having patience, because it took a while to actually get to the day.
Yeah, man. No, thanks to you too, bro. Thanks to you too, man. Because we tried it last time, it didn't work.
You see, we keep trying.
But at least. Yeah, man. Yeah, man,
keep at
it was quite fun, man, having those art talks and stuff.
It is, man. Today's talk was really cool. And I've been doing a bunch of like more corporate type of stuff the past few weeks. So it's like
I've noticed that.
Yeah, man. Those are gigs that there's something very cool about it. I do enjoy it, and it's also I'm also looking at a whole bunch of things because as my brother, my company, my platform. I'm actually meeting my developers this evening. Fuck, man! If the demo works, if the demo works this evening, you will hear from me in the next few days. But I've been saying that for 3 years. Jeez, I've been working on this thing for 3 years, King. For 3 years, my brother. Fuck. So
it will come right definitely.
If the platform works, man, I know I've got a setup, an ecosystem where it can thrive. Because you mentioned early on of struggling to take your work from point A to point B. That is a real fucking struggle in South Africa. It is a real thing, and it costs money. I don't. It costs real money and time. Money and time is money if you look at it.
Definitely, yeah. So
I feel that there's a. Anyway, my brother, I don't know. I've been working on this thing for 3 years, so I've kind of managed my expectations. But we are testing the demo tonight, so if it works, you will definitely. And then we'll have a different conversation. We'll have a different conversation about entrepreneurship and the politics, because I think times have changed. But my king, let's wrap it up there, my brother. So just a quick shout out to all my listeners. If you got this far and you're listening to me and trying to talk about art, I would appreciate if I can get your subscription. Smash that like and subscribe button. Tlhoni, thanks, my king. It's also getting nice and
but no, thanks, man.
Probably like 10 degrees since we've been talking.
Definitely.
I think tonight's gonna be one of those nights. It was a blessing.
Okay, I'm overwhelmed, bro. No, thank you, man. Thanks a lot. And then the handles.
Hit me up with all your social media handles.
Okay. It's simple. It's Lehlono Dlamini in all platforms. It can be Facebook, on Twitter, and then on Instagram. It's Lehlono Dlamini. And then this is how you spell it. It's Lehlono, then Dlamini. It's Dlamini. As I know, people do mistake Dlaminis. Ours, it's written in different ways.
Yeah, man. And
it's DH instead of DLA.
Yeah, man. And I'll put up all those details in the description. My king, one love, man. We'll be in touch.
Yeah.